So I am Lindsay Bennett, and I am the Senior Development Manager for the American Cancer Society in Palm Beach County.
Learn how entrepreneurs started, sustain, and succeed.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you guys are in for a real treat, a fundraising type treat, a purposeful treat. And I met this guest at Leadership Palm Beach, the most effective group ever, is what I'm saying, you know, for the focus. And we were all focused for the 2.5 days. But Lindsay, when I saw her, I had to ask her before knowing who she worked for. I said, what type of artist are you? Because she is always colorful. I mean, from the feet to the earrings to the hair, everything, there's like a message in it. It's art. So she told me, you know, what she does. And come to find out, she is like a creative. She is a writer. And I just know my people when I see them. But Lindsay, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. I'm doing well. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for, you know, seeing that creativity. I appreciate it. That's always nice when that's recognized.
Yeah, it's like it came out of like a comic book or like a movie. So, you know, American Cancer Society, you guys like got the right one. She doesn't have to say anything and she's a magnet. Tell us though, I want to know before we get into, you know, all of what you do, how do you get here? Because there's somebody right now in college saying, you know what, I want to have a position like yours, but they don't know, do I even need this degree or what
Right.
should I be studying in? Because they could be doing something totally off the wall that won't mean anything and
Right.
they might be able to start now. So let, you know, that young person know, how do you get here to, you know, your position?
So my road actually might not be the typical one for this. My degree is in theater. That's where my heart and my passions are, is in that creative performing arts. And that led me, I worked as an artist in residence, and then I spent a lot of time working in elementary education, molding young minds. And then things happened. I said, you know, I love the kids, but this isn't right for me. And I was able to land a career for a very long time in marketing and in television production, right? And then COVID, downsizing, all of that happened. It's hard to make television commercials when you can't be in the same room with each other. And this position came open. I was a volunteer for a very long time for the American Cancer Society. And I said, I want to take all of that, that performance. I love to talk to people, that education. I want to teach people about the American Cancer Society and that marketing. Let me get that, create that awareness, get that name out there. And I put all that together. And now I can use all that for good.
That is awesome. And what a story. Now, you know, because they knew you, they were comfortable with you. You know, you are, like I said, you're an artist, like a walking artist. Just, you know, do you think without that volunteering that, you know, the organization would have, you know, said, oh yeah, come do this and we believe you? Or did you kind of have to get your feet wet to make it such an easier transition?
No, I think because I came in with some event production, which is a big part of what I do now, and I did come in with that marketing piece. I think that's what they saw, right? There are actually some in leadership that sometimes are concerned about volunteers becoming, you know, staff, because sometimes those are two very different things that we have to do between what we can do as a volunteer and what we can do as staff. And so I think being able to help them see, hey, this is what I've done in the past, and this is how I'm going to make it work for the American Cancer Society. I think that was important, you know. So it's that interview piece, you know. Yes, because I was a volunteer, because they knew me, that may have gotten me in the door for the interview, but then helping them understand this is how I want to use my skills to change my corner of the world and fight for the mission of the American Cancer Society to end cancer everywhere for everyone. That's how I can use this.
And The $100,000 more question for a lot of young people, and I don't always have the most positive reply for them, is school necessary? But after I paid Sallie Mae back, I'm always kind of like, I don't know if school was necessary to do this. I am glad I did it because I met my wife and some lifelong friends along the way and connections. But for, a position like yours, and even in the TV stuff, would you say school helped you? Because you focused on the arts and you're really kind of living your dream, which not everybody we know is able to do that. So,
I think for some things, school is important, right? I mean, there's the obvious things. I want my doctor to have gone to school, right? I want my lawyer to have gone to school. Television production, I know a lot of people that, went to Full Sail or did different television programs. There's a great program like at FSU. And then I know others that are really significantly self-taught, which is amazing that in that industry, you can do that. I think for me, school was important for me. And fully transparent, I was on scholarships. I worked my butt off to be on scholarships, because my parents couldn't write checks. And you don't necessarily want to take out loans when you're looking at a theater degree, right? Because when if you're going to pursue theater, when are you going to pay those off? And but for me, I feel like it just made me a well-rounded person. It sort of shoved me out into the world in a different way. But absolutely, college does not have to be for everybody. Trade schools are great of all different kinds. And if you've got some skills and you can get out there, I have a great friend who was, we knew her as a teenager. And yeah, she's working on her own marketing business exactly like you've created. And she's trying to go the one or two classes at a time route while she's working. I think that's a thing too. I think you have to look at where do I want to be? What do I want to, do? What do I want to be when I grow up? And what's making me happy? I did not start as a theater major. I started as a physical therapy major. And even in that, I wanted to work for, a dance company or, go work on Broadway, things like that. So I knew I needed something creative. I was not happy in that major. And I'm spending all of this money, other people's money, but still, I'm spending all this money. You got to do something that's going to feed your soul a little bit. And so that's why I changed my major, ended up in theater. That's where I wanted to be. But it helped me become who I am, and it helped me to learn that sometimes you got to take that leap and follow that dream and say, no, this is what I want to do. And I joke sometimes that, yeah, I'm not exactly using a theater degree in a cancer nonprofit, a health-focused nonprofit, but I am because I'm standing up and I'm talking in front of people, and I will talk to anybody that slows down long enough, about cancer and ACS and getting your screenings done. And I think that a lot of that comes from that, if I can get up on stage and be somebody else, I certainly can be myself in front of people.
And it's needed now in a time where organizations need to kind of figure out that the old way is not going to get the eyeballs in a TikTok, YouTube 60-second, 90-second. How has that been being able to create for a very traditional, serious? I mean, this stuff, my mother passed with cancer, and it was like, every day it's just a gift because they don't know, and the research is always changing. And many physicians say, hey, we're doing our best guesswork, but it's an educated guess. But how has it been bringing your new ideas to an organization that is like, I don't know, maybe this will work. We'll cross our fingers. How has that been embraced?
But we do, we're second only to the US government in cancer research, right? So there is constantly research coming out. We just put out our cancer facts and figures, which we put out every year, and it's available for everybody. You can go on cancer.org and read it and see what are the numbers looking like, right? So that's information we need to get out. And yeah, we do not spend a lot of our donor dollars on marketing. How we are me. It's people like me. It's our volunteers that are out there talking about the American Cancer Society and the work we're doing. So we have to embrace the TikToks and the Instagram or the Snapchat or whatever it is. it's not traditional, let me put a 30-second PSA on and try and drive people to the website, right? It doesn't work. Also, I mean, I don't have cable anymore, so I don't even see those commercials. But when I go to my parents' house and they're watching commercials, there's, 100 different nonprofits that are saying, we need your help. And they're totally legitimately in need of your help too. So how do we get past that white noise and connect with people like yourself who have been touched by cancer, who do know how important it is? So yeah, and not just that social media platform, but locally, how can I be in the community that is so important to me? We just did a health fair last weekend. It was amazing. And it never fails to surprise me after 8 years as a volunteer and 3 years on staff, how many people go, oh, I didn't know the American Cancer Society did all this. Like, there's so much opportunity for us to teach about who we are and our services and meeting people where they are to give them that information, right? I can't just put it in the post and be like, well, if you don't read the paper, sorry, we tried. We can't do that. We've got to be out in the community to teach people who we are, what we do, and then how they can take care of themselves.
And just, with your 3 years and the 8 years of the volunteering, what's the transition to do more multimedia stuff and do it, more maybe even in a fun way of a serious topic? I'm trying to prove a point that when I was, in the government interning, a lonely intern, you can't put the congresswoman on social media. No one's doing that unless they're, and it's like, this is the now, this is the
This is the
future.
now, man. Yeah, we have an amazing relationship with Channel 25 locally, right? They come to our events, they put us on before the events, they talk about, different cancers, what month is it, what do you need to be doing, how do you talk to your doctor, right? That is an amazing relationship because people watch the news on their phone, people watch the news on their TV, they watch it on their computer. But absolutely, and it can be fun. Of course, this is serious, right? We're predicting 2 million new cases this year, new diagnosis of cancer this year. 2 million, it's the highest it's ever been. Some of that is good news. It means we're doing more screenings, right? But it also means that's a lot of people that are going to be looking for help, that need to know where to go, that need to, if they don't already have a doctor, find the right doctor for them. So it can be fun. We have a really great campaign right now called I Love You Get Screened, and it is built for social. And it's not just, yes, I have to take care of myself and I have to get my screenings first, right? That old adage of put your own oxygen mask on first. But then I also have to talk to my friends like Kellen and say, hey, Kellen, have you gotten your screenings yet? How old are you? And especially those people that we're closest to, our friends and our family, we have to have those conversations. And they're not, always easy, but you can make that heartwarming. You can make it fun. And getting that information out there, also talking about our partners. We have some great partnerships with people who support us. Let's make that fun. Let's go take tours of their hospitals, their companies. Let's talk about the great work that they're doing too. And I think that is, and I think it's videos, right? It's not just here's a flyer, it's a video, it is that TikTok. Listen, the whole nation stopped everything that we were doing and listened to a woman's 8-hour story about her crazy relationship, right? There's space for people to listen. We just have to be putting it out there.
And what type of screenings are available? Because I tell people often on this show that, especially if you're here in South Florida and Palm Beach County and you're over 40, please, men, you need to go see your doctor. I have a beautiful doctor with small hands, but you need to, see your doctor. So what type of doctor is out there? Are screenings are out there, and are the doctors out there to do those uncomfortable screenings? For many of the men who say, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I just, do my blood work, but no, you need to do this because this is more accurate than,
Right.
so what's there if you guys have a big van out there and a
I wish,
privacy
right?
window?
That would be amazing. That's a drive-through, right? Beep, beep, come on in. So, unfortunately, like you said, blood marker tests are not available for every cancer. They're going to catch some stuff. They're obviously going to catch blood cancers. My father is a kidney cancer survivor. My parents live in a very small town. They taught everybody in that small town. They can call their doctor in the morning and go see him, right? They're in one of those great places. They get blood work done all the time. His kidney function was fine. That other kidney, man, it was trucking. So by the time we found it with the other symptoms, severe back pain, and it took a long time for it to be severe. And he was, early 70s. I don't know about you, Kellen. My back hurts right now. Of course.
I was thinking that. I was like,
Right?
hold on.
Then you're like, oh gosh, this is it. So, and then he did have some blood in his urine that by the time that was found, tests were done to get ready for surgery, all that, and he got into surgery. It was a 19 centimeter tumor that became very involved and then became a very difficult surgery, right? So, as an example, it is March. I'm wearing my blue for colorectal cancer. We have just changed that guideline. So for a very long time, we recommended that colorectal cancer screening start at 50, and we've just lowered that to 45 for everybody. So yeah, not super fun to take a day off, drink a bunch of stuff, have a little nap, and get a colonoscopy. But you know what else is less fun is cancer. Right. And
Yes.
especially advanced cancer, the earlier you can catch something, the easier it is. Fewer or less intense treatments. Maybe you can avoid surgery if you catch it early. With colorectal cancer, the longer it goes, now you're talking about bigger parts being removed that can lead to an ostomy bag. It can lead to longer treatments, more chemo, more radiation. And unfortunately, going completely untreated can lead to death. That is much more painful than a once a year colonoscopy, I promise.
The
So,
colonoscopy isn't bad at all. The put me to sleep anytime rather than the prostate, I'd rather do that all day.
So start with a GP, if you go talk to your regular doctor. Now, I kind of stressed our recommended screenings, okay? That's a starting conversation with your doctor. It is so important that you have a conversation, and this kind of ties back in with the I love you get screened, that if you can, you're having conversations with your family about family history. Like I just said, my dad is a renal cancer survivor, my mom is a two-time breast cancer survivor. I've been getting mammograms and ultrasounds since I was in my 20s, right? Because of her. So now I have been able to wrap my arms around my girlfriends and say, it's time, girls. Now, you're regularly scheduled, recommended. And I can talk them through it. And I've been able to talk them through biopsies. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. There's probably going to be somebody that you're close to who has a great doctor or knows somebody that has a great doctor, but always start that. You can start it with a GP that you go to for a physical, that you go to when you have a cold, and say, oh, I'm turning 45. I should, go do this. Who should I talk to? And then they can get you a recommendation. You can check on your insurance company's website. Also, you can call cancer.org. We have a 24/7, 365, 1-800 number. It's 1-800-227-2345. There also is a chat function on cancer.org. So if you're not a talker, you can chat. If you don't have insurance or you're underinsured, they can also help you find screenings that are free or very low cost.
That's great. And in that low cost, are there any ranges just to get, if you can't get it free, you are working? Because some people might be like myself. I've been accused of being a hypochondriac, watching, when we're in hotels, I see all the ads, like you had mentioned. And I tell
Right.
my wife, who's, in medicine, I say, hold on, what is that? I think I have some of the symptoms. You can't have those. You don't have ovaries.
Right.
Oh, okay, I'm
You don't have ovarian
relaxed.
cancer from cocoa powder, right?
But the ads just hit you over and over, and you
Right.
just get, what are those low costs? Some people are like, look, I'm already barely making it.
I
I don't
understand.
have another, whatever the amount of money it is to go check. I'd almost rather die. I'm worth more dead than alive, you hear people say
Right.
sometimes.
Yeah, and that is so scary. And that, a million years ago, when I was underinsured, right? And insurance was a much different game. You could be kicked off of your insurance, right? You could have a lifetime maximum. You could get diagnosed with something and they could say, we're not going to cover you anymore. Good luck. Bye, right? Remember when insurance companies could play that game? And because of my mother's history, and she had had breast cancer once at that point, but she was young. She was 49 when she was diagnosed, which is at the time was below when we started recommending mammograms. So I had to get what's called a diagnostic mammogram, slightly different pictures, more of them, things like that. So with my insurance, it was $600. I didn't have $600. I didn't want to go to my parents and ask for that. So for me, I would wait until October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and a lot of hospitals, imaging centers, places like that would offer no insurance for $100, maybe a couple hundred bucks. We have seen that change so much. Insurance companies have become a little bit more realistic, right? And there are like for mammograms, there are mobile mammogram vans. That's an easier scan than like a colonoscopy, right? Like we said, you can't get that at the drive-through. So finding those places, again, it's colorectal cancer month. Look around. There might be places that are doing it, for less expensive right now, the no insurance screenings. And like I said, call our number. They can, tell them where you live. They will look and see what they can't help and find for you.
Okay, does the American Cancer Society, in case you need to have, your prostate removed, does it help with any of that or can make any type of recommendations, especially if you're worried what it will cost? Because some people say, I could go overseas and get this done, but I'm uncomfortable,
Right.
so are there any things that, for that, do you guys do any recommendations, or is the life too litigious in America where if you make a recommendation?
Right. No, there's all recommendations of, hospitals near you or specialist places. Okay. So if you have a very particular type of cancer, that maybe, let's say, they are specializing in at, MD Anderson, in New York City, what we can do is help get you in touch with them, help get you to see, does your insurance cover it? Hospitals have programs for uninsured people as well, all over. In Palm Beach County, Florida, we have the healthcare district, right? That's going to help take care of you if you don't have insurance. Then we also can help you with things like lodging if you're near a cancer center. So the American Cancer Society has a program called Hope Lodges. You can stay there free, a patient, a survivor. And one caregiver can stay there for free if you're going away from your home area to get treatments. And we have 31 of those across the United States and in Puerto Rico. So if you're going away because that's the best place for you to get your treatments, to get your surgery, it's your best chance at surviving and thriving this cancer, then we can help find lodging. We also have a program called Road to Recovery. So if you don't drive or you're not able to drive, let's say after a long day of chemo and you don't have somebody who can drive you, we have volunteers. You call our 800 number, you say, I need a ride on this and that day. There's an app that you have where you can put in, what your needs are, and a volunteer says, I'll drive you. And they come and get you. They take you to your appointment. If it's a short appointment, they wait. If not, they or somebody else come and pick you up. You're not dealing with a bus system. You're not dealing with, I can't go to this treatment. I have to miss this treatment because I don't have somebody that can, pick me up, take me, bring me home, do all that. It's so imperative that once you've started, right, these appointments, these treatments, that you keep it going. And so that's another way that we can help defray some of those costs, that you're not dealing with Uber and Lyft and things like that.
That is an awesome thing. And I want you guys to like rewind that and write it down or take a note, whether you majority of you are listening, but even for those who are watching, make a clip of it on YouTube. Because when cancer hits, it's like children or marriage. It's never at the most convenient time. It's oh wow, we're in it now.
Right, we're in it now.
Yeah, so you really need to have a preparation and a plan. And here's one for you. And it might go into, let me ask my signature question because this might align with it. But we've been talking about community give back, and the whole interview is a community give back. And maybe that you have a solution for this. But is there anything like a cancer plan? Like you already had your stuff at 20 laid out. Is there a cancer plan saying, hey, this is your condition, you need to get checked out every year, and these are your options, and like a booklet or anything digital? Is there anything like that that you know of?
So two things. We do have our get your tests, right? Go to cancer.org, look up screenings, look up get your tests. Boom, you can print the whole thing out, stick it on your fridge, right? And it's going to tell you, okay, from 25 to 39, this is what we recommend. From 40 to 49, this is what we recommend. Again, I hope that you have some kind of medical professional, a nurse practitioner, a PA, a doctor, somebody that you can have those conversations with and say, oh, my mom had cancer, my dad, my grandma, right? Because it's different. If it's grandma, grandpa, or further away, if it's cousins, it doesn't have the same impact as that first degree relative. But it's good for you to know that. So you keep that up there. Then, yes, if you go to cancer.org and you search for, I think it's survivor plan, right? And again, use that chat function and find that. And there is an outline. There's some great questions you can ask your doctor. One thing I suggest for any of us, but especially if you are dealing with a new diagnosis, you get yourself a notebook and you keep it by your bed, or you have your notes app in your phone, because you're going to think of those questions in the middle of the night. Right? And so then you take that with you to your doctor, and you stand there and you ask your questions. We have to advocate for ourselves and for our health. And we all know that doctors, we are severely short on nurses in this country. And so we know that sometimes it can feel like, oh, they were so rushed, right? No, that is your time. Take back your time. And say, I have some questions that I need answers to, right? You can also call cancer.org if they're general questions in the middle of the night and say, I have a question. What is the treatment usually for this? Or, what do these symptoms, what could these mean? One of the nefarious things about cancer is sometimes you have a million symptoms and sometimes you have none. As I said, my dad's first symptom of kidney cancer was that his back hurt. Everything else was okay. And it wasn't until it was much more progressive, right? And that's not to scare you. That's to say, listen to your body, right? Keep on top of these screenings. And yes, if you are diagnosed, come to us. Let us help you. Let us be part of your team. I hope that everybody out there has a team that if something like this happens, they can rely on. Let us be part of that. Call our cancer.org number, use the chat function, look at the books that we have available, find that, newly diagnosed cancer plan and talk to your doctors too. Maybe they have, a workbook kind of thing for you too, that you can write down everything, write down those questions that you have. Do not go on WebMD in the middle of the night. Go to somewhere that, and that can get scary too, right? And like you said, this is serious. This can be really heavy. And I don't want to scare people. I want people to be prepared. That's the best thing that we can do for ourselves, right? Knowledge is power. And so if I'm listening to my body and I'm prepared to advocate for myself, for my loved ones, and say, no, I think we need to go ahead and do this test. I think we need to check this out. Then that's the best thing that we can do for ourselves.
No, I love it. You have to, and you're perfect at being able to, bring a serious subject and make it palatable where people aren't so worried. But you even think about your father. I remember some of the jobs I have, even in the oil field, every day your back hurts,
Right.
depending on what your job is. And so
Right.
and men, especially if you're from the old school, suck it up, get over it, it's gonna be okay. No, you know. So
Right.
that's needed to know. Okay, your back hurts. Go see somebody. It is
Right.
okay.
Yeah, and I think he hadn't really even mentioned to their doctor that they're very close to. He's a great care provider. He's a great physician. He probably hadn't even mentioned it to Doc, right? Because he was early 70s, his back hurt. But maybe, who knows? Maybe they would have done something, because as soon as my dad said, hey, there's some blood in my urine, he said, come in on Tuesday, let's do an ultrasound, right? So there was no hesitation. So finding that doctor too that's going to listen to you, that was my mom's experience. Like I said, my mom was under the recommended age to start mammograms. And she did not have a lump. She did not have, a huge red mark. We were actually running a summer camp because my parents were teachers. And so you find work in the summer. And we had started a summer camp that year, and she bent over and it felt weird. She knew that for her body, that was weird. And there was like a little like wrinkle that was new. She paid attention to that. That could have saved her life the first go around. Then we, her paying attention to research that was coming out of the American Cancer Society, her kind of cancer comes back in 20 years. So she was prepared for it. So I think that has to be part of it too, right? Is we're listening to our body, we're creating that team of the physicians, but also friends, family, that support team. And then we're paying attention to research. I'm not saying you need to go through cancer.org every day, but sometimes when those cancer facts and figures come out, we have been, ACS has been on the news talking about these new colorectal cancer numbers. Younger and younger people are developing colorectal cancer. This is not an old person's disease.
Well, you might not say they have to go every day, but brother, I'm saying say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and go to cancer.org every day. Just like Hulkamania would say, because it scares a man. And you guys, sorry if I'm oversharing, but I have my CDL. So every so often I have to go pee in a cup, even with my own doctor. And they all say, hey, there's a little blood in the urine, nothing to worry about, but what's your history? And that's why I stay on things. Do you know though, you try to be as healthy as you can, and then let's say one day you juice beets and your urine comes out the beet color and
Right.
you want to pass out, like,
Yeah.
ah.
Oh no, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah, like Red Fox. Oh, this is a big one.
It's a big one. Yeah.
So you gotta have your team with you and a plan. So when you do freak out, come on, what did you eat? All
Right.
right, take time a day,
Right.
relax.
Exactly. Yeah, you always have to think about what you just ate, right? Beet juice, Doritos, lots of orange, red Jell-O, that kind of thing. And yeah, take care of yourself. Get up, walk around, go touch grass. We know, don't smoke. We know, eat less red and processed meats. Don't drink, avoid sugar. Listen, I am not here to tell everybody to like touch that grass and then eat it, and that's the only thing you're eating. Right? Because we also have to, enjoy life. Some things obviously are complete no-nos, but I think everything in moderation. And the more we can get up and move around, the better. We know we're seeing that that is a cause of more cancer. So, and it's tough, right? A lot of us work behind a computer, work from home, and you're trying to get more done in a day. We have unlimited viewing prospects on our televisions and our laptops and our phones now. So it's harder to get up and motivate, but that little bit of difference, it helps, trust me.
And I could hear the audience sometimes, and someone was like, "Bro, she said touch grass. I'm doing that every day." But then she said, "Don't smoke it." No, she was talking
No.
about like the literal grass,
Right.
y'all. And that's people even with like how the drugs and how people are, how you take care of your body. You will be blessed if you guys can get off the vape pens or and everything else. You'll have a whole different outlook of life. I don't know if edibles, because I know you're going to tell me it's medicine, but again, zone in and focus and go to cancer.org. I'm saying it every day so you can get your plan in place, because not enough people even have a plan, so they totally freak out.
Right.
Is there a mental health piece at cancer.org? Because they're going to need a therapist when you deal with this for you
Yeah,
or your family member.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's resources on cancer.org. Again, call, that 1-800 number. And sometimes we'll direct you to another nonprofit, and say, hey, talk to these people. They've got great, mental health resources. Most hospitals that you go to are going to have a support group. Join it, right? You're not alone. I think it's so amazing how many times in my life I or somebody that I love is going through something, right? And it's kept sort of very small and private, like even in our circle, just like one or two of us know what's going on. And then it finally bubbles and you say something, right? Oh, my mom was diagnosed. And everybody has a story and everybody's there to support you. Because they've been there, right? And so sometimes we have to be brave and share our story and share what's going on because that's how we're going to find that support, right? And you're absolutely so right that there is a huge mental health component to it. And I know that. And I know that it's scary. I know that what we're talking about is scary. I have people all the time that say, well, no, I haven't gotten my mammogram because I'm scared that I'm going to have cancer. And then what am I going to do? Who's going to take care of my kid? Well, who's going to take care of your kids if you're not here? Right? Cancer does not go away. It's not a cold. It's not the flu. It doesn't go away, unfortunately. We have to fight it. And as we said earlier, the earlier you can catch it, the shorter that fight can be.
Yes, only if things were so fair, where I think of Damon John, how he said he got an executive physical and he
Right.
found it so early, but not everyone has 10 grand or more to
Right.
get that.
Yeah, everybody can't go and get a full body scan every year. Be like, yep, you're good. See you next year, so listening to your body, what your body sounds like, how your body feels, if you've had a long day, how your body might feel tomorrow, that if you went out and howled all night, that how your body's going to feel tomorrow. But is your body feeling like that now 3, 4, 5 days in a row? Maybe you need to talk to somebody a month. Again, I'm not asking everybody like every time your back hurts to freak out and go to the doctor, right? Your doctor's not going to appreciate that. But keep yourself a little journal. You've got that notes tab. There's 150 million journal note things, apps, in the app store. Find the one that works for you and keep track of that stuff.
Yes.
And you can look back and you can also say to your doctor, these are the symptoms I've been having and for how long? Because even when I do go, because I've got a sinus infection, they say, well, how long have you been having your symptoms? And it's like, I don't know, Monday, but so if you can say, yeah, this has been happening for, 2 months, I've been having blood in my urine or a discharge from my breast or, whatever thing that isn't right for you or is different for you, then you can really pinpoint that.
Well, before we wrap up, I want you to tell the people two things. Tell them one, where they can find either your podcast talking about anything you want to talk about or when you're going to write the book and publish it, and where again they can find, all the information that I will have the links in the description, but you got to let them know the creative side of you. I got to know maybe it's not a book, maybe it's a documentary, but please let the people know.
No, I would love to start a podcast, and maybe this will be my inspiration. You're my like third podcast I've done, and this is my favorite thing. I said it to you. I say it to everybody. Don't slow down next to me long enough, right? Or I would be like, "Hey, have you gotten your screenings yet? Oh my gosh, did you see this new report about cancer?" So yeah, I want to talk about it. I want to get information out there. So maybe that is my next, life layer that's going to be added to it. If you go to makingstrideswalk.org/PalmBeachFL, that's my fundraising event that focuses on breast cancer. It's part of the American Cancer Society. So that's where I post all of our newsletters, all of our information, interesting things that come out. And then you can find us on social media, Making Strides Palm Beach County. And then please go to cancer.org. You can find all the resources that you need. You can find a fact sheet on any cancer, right? So you can find out about it. What can some of the symptoms be? What could be causing it? We know that frequently cancer is just genetic, right? And it's just the cards that we're dealt. But there's a lot of information there. There's also usually good questions to ask your doctor, to talk to a doctor about, ways to talk to your family about things. There's great recipes to try and help you eat healthier. There's books you can order. Like I said, there's a chat function. You can find out more about our Hope Lodges in Florida. We have one in Tampa and one in Jacksonville, and also that Road to Recovery program. Please sign up to be a volunteer. We always need drivers everywhere across the country. Find an event near you. All of our events are free. Of course, we love it when people fundraise, but we also want to create that community, right? Right now it's spring, it's Relay for Life season. Relay for Life is the celebration of all cancer survivors, thrivers, their caregivers. Find one that's near you and go and participate in it. It's such an amazing, interesting day to go and be part of that. And don't feel like you can't go if you're not a survivor or caregiver. We want everybody there, right? Because it's not just survivors and caregivers, it's everybody that's important. And in October, find the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer event near you. Go, it's a great morning. Get all dolled up in your pink and have fun.
Hey, you guys, get serious about the future. A lot of what we talk about is about finance, but what is finance without health? And I brought you someone who can talk about, the health, but also maybe if you hit her up, find her social media and say, you know what, I need you to document my journey. She could do that too, because remember, she has a TV background. So I'm just throwing out things. If they catch, they catch. You guys, I thank you for sticking to the end. Make sure that you look in the descriptions, you tap in, get your plan together. Make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share this game with someone. It literally will save and change their life. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Join us on an exciting journey with Explore the World Cameroon. London and Sydney go take you explore Cameroon, the heart of Africa. Experience the vibrant culture, nature, and traditions from Yaoundé Market to rainforest adventures. Every page na new discovery. Enjoy the Cameroonian food, music, and wildlife with our explorers. This book na true celebration of Cameroon spirit. Get your copy now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through your library and bookstores via Ingram Spark. Don't miss this adventure.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand, or 10,000 Kenyan shillings, or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip, starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.